Advent, a time of hope, of love, of joy, and peace as we prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord. Today, I am motivated to share some thoughts with you about some of the messengers and some of the messages that point us to the meaning of Advent. Specifically, I wanted to focus on Matthew 3 and part of verse 11, part of the gospel reading for today. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. A few days ago, we, that is my wife Felicity and myself, we were sitting in the departure lounge at an international airport when I heard some familiar music coming from the, streamed through the audio system. And it's not often that I recognize any of the music that's usually streamed. But I paused and took note and nudged Phil because I recognized it as the tune of a carol, an Advent carol. And that was even more amazing because most times we miss Advent, but here was an Advent carol, O come, Emmanuel. And I believe that that's a very, very important message for Advent. It might be a bit early, but we are often bombarded with Christmas carols at this time. O come, Emmanuel, an important message of Advent. But as we continue our pilgrimage through Advent, we hear other messages. And today we hear particularly from the messenger, John the Baptist, bringing us messages for this holy season. How can we get through Advent without crossing paths with John the Baptist, the gatekeeper, generally known as the forerunner of Christ, the one given the opportunity, charged with the responsibility to, as pointed out in Isaiah, to prepare the way of the Lord. John the Baptist is honored in many traditions. First of all, as a saint, he's associated with baptism as a central sacrament of his ministry. And most scholars agree that John baptized Jesus. Furthermore, it has also been suggested that Jesus could have been a follower of John. And New Testament accounts report that some of Jesus' early followers had previously been supporters of John the Baptist. So we acknowledge John as a saint of the church, but he's also acknowledged as an historical figure mentioned by the Jewish historian Josephus, reinforcing the validity of his existence. So first of all, as a saint of the church, secondly, as an historical figure, John anticipated the coming of the Messiah, who would be greater than himself. And Christians commonly refer to John as the one who announced the coming of Jesus, an important message for Advent. So when John talked about the one for whom he was preparing the way, he did so with some credibility and some confidence. John, a saint, an historical figure, but a prophetic proclaimer who urged people to repent as he warned that the Messiah was coming soon and that the season, the holy season of Advent, is a time for us to be prepared. This message was important for John's audience, as it is for each of us today. But when we look at the gospel reading, we recognize that it recalls an event just before Jesus' baptism and the start of his public ministry. And in this excerpt, John is urging people to return to faithful living as he calls for a changed society. And we ourselves may be involved in conversations about a changed society, but certainly if you look at the news and we listen to our neighbors, we know that there are many calls in all sectors of society for changes to government policy, to changes in the church, to changes in the way we do things. But John's message had a sense of urgency. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. That's quite threatening, isn't it? And we know that the trees that John was referring to are human trees. And so it's really a challenge to us to have that sense of urgency and to heed John's word to return to faithful living, especially in this time of preparation. So what can we learn today about John the Baptist, the messenger, that could help us to grow in our own faith and reach out to others this Advent? How could John be an example for us to follow? I want to share three thoughts very quickly. First of all, John's humility. John was very clear that he was not the Messiah. He could not take any credit. John said he was the voice declaring the coming of the one who is more powerful than I. And he went on to say that I am not even worthy to carry his sandals. Yes, John was a humble preacher. And I would suggest that we can all learn a little humility from John, couldn't we? Yes, his humility. Secondly, his frugal lifestyle. His clothing consisted of what he needed, old clothing perhaps, and his diet was simple. He ate unusual food like locusts and honey, what the Lord provided. Back in the day, my mother would say, we eat what the Lord provides, no choices. Many of us in this affluent society of ours live excessively, don't we? We have so many possessions and we waste so much food that is desperately needed elsewhere. But like John, we must learn to rely on and to do with what God provides. His humility, his frugal lifestyle, and thirdly, his passion for sharing the good news with others. I don't think that there's any doubt that John was passionate, even potentially extremely passionate by his language. John was a forceful preacher, and he was bold enough to address his message to the Pharisees, the most influential group in the society, and also to the Sadducees, who were mainly from the upper classes in society. And it is felt, and there's some evidence to suggest, that these groups often collaborated with the Roman authorities. But yet, John was fearless. And as one might say, he spoke truth to power. We too must follow the example of proclaiming the good news and sharing God's love with everyone. John the Baptist asked people to mend their ways. And we are encouraged to look critically at ourselves as we seek to live what we proclaim as Christians. As we say, spread the gospel, but more importantly, by what we do than by what we say. We can all make choices, but we must acknowledge that God's way is always right. So can we make God's way our way? Yes, my friends, Advent is the spiritual season to watch and wait. And John's message about repentance is quite appropriate. For what better way to celebrate Advent than to prepare our hearts for Jesus? John prepared the way for Jesus. We too must be ready to receive our Lord and Savior, and in doing so, also point others to Christ. Point others to what was referred to in the first reading, a stem from the root of Jesse. I want to share with you very quickly a quote from the author Henry Nouwen, which is quite relevant to our theme of watching and waiting this Advent. Just a short snippet. And this is what he said, and I quote, "Waiting is a period of learning. The longer we wait, the more we hear about him for whom we are waiting." End of quote. Advent is a time of waiting and learning. But Advent is also a time of refocusing and opening our eyes to God's unexpected and surprising work in our midst. You know the old saying, God works in a mysterious way and in ways that we never expect. And as we read the gospel for today, we're reminded that it is more about God's love and mercy than about God's judgment. Because John urged the people of his time to confess their sins and live for God. And today we are reminded that Christ has already come as a gift from God because of his love for us. Jesus died for us and left us with a great commission to reach others as we grow in our relationship with him. So may we all see God's presence around us as we continue to watch and wait for all the moments where we see God in our lives and in the lives of others. And so this Advent, may we hear the messengers bringing the messages of Advent to help us to focus on the true meaning of this holy season of repentance, this season of cleansing, and this season of preparation. My siblings, my sisters, and brothers in Christ, these thoughts I share with you in the name of God, who is Father, who is Son, and who is Holy Spirit, and God's people will say, Amen.